Production funding for Behind the Headlines is made possible in part by the WKNO Production Fund, the WKNO Endowment Fund, and by viewers like you. Thank you.
The challenges and the impact of a property reappraisal during a pandemic, tonight on Behind the Headlines. Barnes with the Daily Memphian, and thanks for joining us. I am joined tonight by Melvin Burgess, Shelby County Tax Assessor. Melvin, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Yuri.
Also, Javier Bailey is Chief Administrative Officer for the Shelby County Tax Assessor's Office. Javier, thanks for being here. Absolutely.
Glad to be here.
And Bill Dries, reporter with the Daily Memphian. We'll go through the details of this, the dynamics of a property reappraisal. Property reappraisals happen every 4 years, although the assessor has a proposal to go to a two-year cycle, which we'll also talk about. But that includes 350,000, give or take, properties in Shelby County, everything from vacant lots to homes to office towers to malls. And by and large, property values are up, in some cases dramatically, 15 to 20%. Melvin, let's just start there. What was the driving, what did you see overall in terms of the drivers of property values are being up? And of course, you know, the last year has been a crazy year in so many ways. And so what challenges did that pose that we were in this kind of both the logistical shutdown of a pandemic, but also the economic impact of a pandemic?
Sure, that's a good question. Thanks, Eric. So, you know, like I said earlier, you know, this office was, you know, we were proactive, because the numbers were already being looked at here, forecast here at this office. So we knew that it was gonna be a big jump. And that's why we took our program on the road. We visited every municipality, mayor, alderman, and said, hey, look, you know, you're gonna see some tremendous growth in your area. So we wanted to make sure that they were prepared, you know, as they try and, you know, do their fiscal year end budgets, as well as giving them a heads up. And we started early. We're still doing some more now. So, you know, we started early, you know, visiting all these different municipalities, letting them know it's coming. We did that last year. So we want to, you know, everyone to be aware and of course, and, you know, so you won't be shocked. But the main thing is that we had a remedy for when you receive your assessment that, you know, we would walk through it with you and provide any kind of assistance, you know, as you try to appeal it or just make sure that you understand and your assessment is correct. Now we are receiving inquiries in that department. So somebody will get, you know, right back with you, you know, if you feel it's unfair. But at the end of the day, you know, by, you know, state law, you know, is that I have to bring every property up to market value. And that's what happened this time.
Maybe I'll bring in Javier on this part, or you can kick it back to Melvin. But in the pandemic, I mean, if we just focus on commercial properties, you know, you could have commercial properties that were leased up, had successful businesses in them for three of the last 4 years, and they lost that tenant, you know, a year ago, right, and they didn't receive any rent. How did you account for that dynamic when 3 out of 4 years were really good and 1 year was disastrous?
So without being too technical, this office primarily has historically has valued commercial businesses based upon their income value. The law allows us to default to a different valuation, which we call cost value. It's the same valuation process that, to explain it in layman's terms, that insurance companies use. So as Mr. Burgess has said publicly several times, we went to the comptroller first and asked the comptroller of the state of Tennessee if there was any way that the assessor could legally provide some outlet, some relief for these commercial property owners. The comptroller's response was that, you know, the statute is the statute, and without some legislative action, there was nothing we can do. So in a large portion of the commercial properties, we are not using income valuation, but using what's called a cost valuation. That's valuing the bricks and mortar. And that provides some relief within the bounds of the statute. But it, you know, it's the best we could do.
Let me go back to Melvin Burgess. One more question before I go to Bill. Sure. To what extent, I mean, you know, you are a former county commissioner. I mean, you live here in Memphis, obviously, in Shelby County. You're, you're aware that there are a whole lot of people in economic distress, right? Yes. I mean, they had to put a foreclosure moratorium in place. The federal government did. Again, we see a lot of headlines about property values being up and, you know, home selling and before they even get listed. But that's not the story for everyone. Did you have to blind yourself a little bit the way Javier talked about the statute is the statute? Do you have to blind yourself to the individual economic pain that some homeowners had?
Yeah, of course, you know, because we, you know, this office, you know, our motto when I get here, the mantra that we put out there is we value people over property. So, you know, we felt the pain too for those ones, like you said earlier, that, you know, that will come out of these distressed neighborhoods. However, you know, we let them know that if you stay on the street and there's some property that's vacant or blighted, you know, those can be taken into consideration as we try to do your appeal or as we try to guide you through the appeal process. So, you know, we're trying to get that out there to say, hey, look, we want you to appeal it. Because remember this also, Eric, is that a reappraisal also helped us to get it right. You know, we, like you said earlier, 350,000 parcels, we all make mistakes. So, you know, this is a chance for us to get it right. But the main thing is that we want, you know, that we carry on the road is that, you know, the different neighborhoods that are distressed, that you got some options and we want them to know those options, but, you know, but just call us and we're here to assist you 100%, whoever you are. So, you know, I mean, you know, it was, you're right. I had to be a little blinded with it because the law is the law. However, there are some, you know, exceptions that we did make to ensure that we stayed within the law. However, it provided some kind of relief. Like in some cases with some of our business schedules, you know, we gave them, or we gave them more time to fill it out, or they could bring them here. We'll fill them out. Or they can, you know, we can go online and do it with online. So we tried to provide extra help for those, like you said, business owners and others, you know, that had to turn in their different business personal property schedules.
Let me bring in Bill.
As we record on a Thursday, I think almost all, if not all, of the reappraisals are out, have been mailed.
That's correct.
And countywide, this is a very diverse county when it comes to property values and many other things, where you might have pockets where the value increased, you might have other pockets, could even be close by where the values decreased. But countywide, what is the growth in values in terms of an average percentage?
It's between, I'd say right at 20% countywide. Of course, some of the inner city neighborhoods did not experience as large a growth. And, you know, as some of the outlying municipalities such as Carterville and Germantown. But when you average it out, it's going to be about 20%.
Okay. And speaking of Germantown, Germantown had some flooding damage there within the last 4 years. And some of those homeowners have rebuilt. And this is something that happens in all parts of the county at one time or another, this kind of rebuilding after some kind of setback. What can you tell those property owners, because they've seen their values go up and they're going, wait a minute, you know, I had this flood, I had this damage I had to fix, but my values went up.
Bill, I'm going to answer this, Brother Bailey. Bill, so what we did was back, I think on June the 7th, 2019, my team went out to, I think it's Shady Creek, and did several townhouses at different locations. And what we did, and what they did was, they, I got in front of me now, is we documented everyone who was affected from that flood, every last one of them. So when my team went out, you know, out there, Bill, you know, of course I saw some things that it said, and it's just untrue. You know, we can't make promises here because we have to follow the state statute. However, we did say that we can provide some kind of assistance, right? So my team went out, they came here. We made phone calls because we didn't hear from a lot of them, because a lot of them said, hey, I've already fixed my problem, this and that and that and this. But at the end of the day, when we went back to look at some of the sales, Bill, the sales are still the same, regardless of it was a flood or not. The sales are still the same. But you know, I just hate that, you know, when stuff is put out there, you know, I know it has a political twist to it, but tell the people the right information, you know, that we did come out and we spoke with Mayor Palazzolo from Germantown yesterday on a Zoom call. And he knew that, you know, we did what we could do to help the residents in Germantown, but there's only so much that we can do. And that's what we stated when we went out there. However, like we said earlier, that we can help you with the appeal process or any kind of documentation that you bring here. to help, you know, either lower your assessment or look at it more carefully. Mm-hmm. But we just, I want to thank this office for doing that work, because I mean, it was ongoing. It was on, I mean, we went out there physically, you know, to talk to them, and not just that, made phone calls, because we didn't hear from everyone. This office made phone calls. So, you know, I just, you know, when I saw it in the write-up in the Daily Memphian, I was kind of disappointed with it, because it didn't tell the truth. And I can't let that, you know, take president over the employees who work here, who do a great job, who've been here for years. Because I saw where it said, Bill, that maybe some of the cause is because it's a new staff. No, the staff is not new. The staff been here 25, 30 plus years. So these, so, you know, they've been through a real praise. They've been through all of the things that floods or any kind of disaster that, you know, that could happen. So I just want to make sure that, for the record, this office did what they could, and we went out, you know, for everybody. That's what we do for everybody, Bill, not mm-hmm. just Germantown, but Boxtown and, you know, Collierville or Whitehaven or whatever. And we want to make sure that we provide the same service, hard service, to make sure that everybody's treated the same and their property values are equitable. As I took the oath, that was one of the, what it said in the oath, that as the assessor of property debt, that I, you know, assess properties fair as it pertains to the Tennessee Code annotated.
All right. Before we go back to Eric, there is, of course, this proposal that your office has made to go to property reappraisals every other year. What is the case for that? And if there are more frequent appraisals, what does that do to kind of the sticker shock that we see from people who, after 4 years of ups and downs, say, wow, I didn't expect it to increase this much?
Sure. Bill, thanks for that question. And, you know, one thing, like I said earlier, is that, you know, even, you know, we went to the state comptroller's office and there was no remedy they could help us with. That's when Mr. Javier Bailey and his team, you know, had the appraisers and people put their heads together and say, you know, what can we do? So that's when a two-year reappraisal hit the floor, because we know that, you know, if you see growth in the first 2 years, why not capture that growth in those first 2 years instead of waiting for 4 years? Because those last 2 years out of the 4 year cycle, it could be flat. And you can experience the same thing again, waiting another 4 years versus waiting 2 years. The 2 years help you capture the growth as it happens. A lot of your major cities, Bill, Atlanta, Houston, Dallas, other ones, some of them do annual appraisals, some do 2 years, some do 1 year, some do every other year. So, you know, I think, you know, we're at a time to where we're going to have to step out there, and our leaders, you know, don't politicize this. You know, I mean, we're here trying to help people during this time. Eric talked about the pandemic. This is a good remedy, we feel, not just us, but we've been, we have support from the state, as well as CTAS, a consultant, to say, hey, look, this is a great idea. And we feel that if we do go to the 2 year reappraisal, that I promise that I feel that everyone in the state of Tennessee will try to follow that same model, which is good for this time. You know, you have to change with the time and the economy.
But let me, just for people who, we all are very close to this, people, sometimes do get confused. The Shelby County tax assessor, the assessor, does not collect taxes. That's done by the trustee. And the tax assessor does not set the tax rate. And I'm going to do a really bad job trying to describe this dynamic, which I do every 4 years, which is that by state law, Shelby County, I think every county, cannot see a windfall, an increased amount in gross property tax receipts as a result of the reappraisal. So if all the property taxes are up, that then, or property values are up, that's then going to push down the tax rate. Is that a fair assessment? I mean, a summary of how this works. And that tax rate is set by county commission in terms of property taxes for the
that's
county,
right,
and then the individual cities.
That's
how'd
right.
I do?
Right. You did good. But just one thing, Eric, and I try to, I just don't say anything about it, but when people call me the tax assessor, see what happens here in the state of Tennessee, they're much smaller than we are. So guess what? They assess property and they collect the taxes. So all I do here is assess the property. But,
right,
you know, taking into consideration, you know, you're correct. You know, when the reappraisal was done, they're called the State Board of Equalization. They will come in and lower the tax rate. I know when I was on the county commission, I was in 2017, I went through a reappraisal. And of course, you know, we reset it back, no more, no less. So, you know, it's up to the, like you said earlier, you cannot realize a windfall from reappraising. That's why the state comes in and lower the tax rate. And what you pay, if you're, you know, as far as your mortgage, adding to your mortgage, your escrow, you know, it depends on what the county commission sets as far as the tax rate. I think
right
now the tax rate is 0.05. So you're exactly right.
Well, and I can remember in the 08-09 cycle, a kind of reverse had happened where the housing market had been exploding, the property market had been exploding, values were way up, and then the crash came in about 08, but the property tax reappraisal that hit in 09 reflected more of the boom than the bust, right? And I can remember your predecessor, Cheyenne Johnson, talking about how they were kind of stuck. And because they're on a four-year cycle, it was going to be 4 years before they, and she was, I think, interested, I don't want to put words in her mouth, in the notion of a two-year cycle.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of a two-year cycle. Because in a two-year cycle, it's not just catching the upswing, but you also reflect the downswing. And the homeowner, the everyday homeowner, gets the benefit of our being able to bring those values down when they're going down, rather than leaving them stuck at 4 years, way up.
Let me ask, I mean, I'll stay with you, Javier, on this, just some logistics. Again, all of us are very close to this.
Sure.
Back in the day, I think there was a notion decades ago that there were people from the tax assessor's office who went to homes, who measured, at least the outside of the house, who took pictures. Right. It was a very manual process. And if not, I don't know that every property was physically inspected, but there was much, much more of that. How is, the average person's home, how is it assessed now?
So we still are required by law to physically, do a visual assessment. That means to lay our eyes on every single piece of property in Shelby County. We use something called pictometry now. So what that means is we have like GIS or what appears to be satellite type flyovers, where we can see the property and view it to see if there are any physical changes. We likewise have appraisers that ride the street, and they literally will go and take a look at every property. They don't get out and measure it, because we can measure it now utilizing other kinds of technology. But if there are any additions or demolitions done to any kind of modification done to a property where a permit is pulled, then we do send someone out to physically lay hands on that property, to walk the property, to pull tape and measure it as well.
And just before I go back to Bill, if a property, and we've talked about the appeal process, if they want to know more about the appeal process, they can either go to the website or they can make a phone call. Is that correct, Javier?
Yes. And we now have added live chat to our website.
Okay. And the phone number for those?
901-222-7001.
All right. Let me go back to Bill.
All right. And some folks out there, when we talk about an appraisal every other year, they might be thinking, oh, okay, well, the assessor's office is going to have to gear up for this. But the assessor's office, even with a four-year cycle, your appraisers don't sit there and wait for 4 years to around to begin looking at property, do they?
That's right. Javier, you can add to this, but what I do know is the technology that we currently have, you can do way more. You can do more than normal. And that's why, we went before the county commission. Of course, the first thing he asked, we have to beef up our staff. And no, we have the technology to do that and got the experienced people to make that happen every 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Again, you're not starting from scratch with a reappraisal either, because in those interim 3 years now, you're still looking at property values and determining it. It's just that is not part of the formal reappraisal.
That's right, Bill. And another important thing is that we always got to present our plan to the state a year ahead. So, we're on top of it. I mean, you have to be on top of the reappraisal process because you're closely looked at by the comptroller's office to make sure, because Shelby County is the biggest county, and we lead the way in a lot of things. And a lot of things were done this time, and we had to have more information, which I understand. But the main thing is that we just try to make sure that we stay in compliance with the state comptroller's office.
So do you understand the hesitancy of the Shelby County Commission? This is a big decision for them as well, and they've requested more information. And you indicated at the last commission meeting that sure, we'll be happy to provide you whatever you're looking for in terms of mainly looking back at past reappraisals to see the impact of those.
Sure. And also to add to that, Bill, because I sat on the county commission side. of it, and I know, I know how it, for the most part, how it works. But my thing is, Bill, is I would hope that, that people would take the time to understand, and you can call our office, you can call Mr. Bailey. Like I told him at the last meeting, we'll come and do a one-on-one with you to see if you understand and not, put your own flair on it and it's not correct. Because I think when we send out incorrect information, all it does is cause a lot of confusion. And what I told him too, Bill, is that there is no Republican way to do assessments. There is no Democratic way. This is all about trying to help Shelby County do a time with a really tough time during this pandemic. And I just hope that, people will do their due diligence as leaders. And because my office can only do so much as we do town halls. You still got a lot of people out there, but if we can just work together and make sure we get out the right information, I think it'll be a lot better.
One question I'll have, and I'm not sure either of you can take this. We talk a lot on the show, it's debated constantly in county, city politics, the pilot tax incentives. It's a property tax incentive, a reduction in property taxes to spur development. They are almost always controversial. There's been some talk of maybe reforming, but then again, there's always talk of reforming and changing the pilot system. Someone can, maybe it's Javier, can you tell me the dynamics without getting into the politics of it? If a property gets a pilot, a 10-year pilot, reduced taxes, the property was $1 million, valued at $1 million, let's say when that pilot was given, the pilot reduces the tax burden by 90% or something. If you all do reappraise that, I assume, that property under a pilot, and impact the value and the taxes that that property owner will pay?
So we, prior administrations did not put a lot of effort in keeping the market value of properties under a pilot on the record at market value. We now, as a result of the Electrolux debacle, that's my term, we now are maintaining these properties at market value. Now, of course, they don't pay full value in their property tax obligation. But our records are reflecting market value for these properties.
Electrolux being the big manufacturing facility, it received a big major pilot, 10, 12 years ago now, and ultimately, left the city behind. But go ahead.
That's right. I interrupted. And so yes, so those properties are taken into account when we set up our models and our statistical analysis of for valuation. But they don't, they're not reflected in the tax, in the revenue that the county or city receives. Now, since you asked, I got to say it. That's a lot of lost revenue. It's a lot of lost revenue. And Mr. Burgess has been quite vocal in admonishing and encouraging local leaders to pay attention to the amount of revenue that's being absorbed by pilots and not going into the coffers, because the governmental obligations for services and public works and so forth doesn't end. And that means that the homeowners and those property owners that are not privileged to get a pilot are having to carry that burden even more.
Melvin, again, you were a county commissioner, you voted, you were, I'm sure, in the middle of various debates about pilots and how they're used. Should those pilots be reflective, as Javier just mentioned, of they may still be reduced to spur development, but incrementally increase as the values increase?
Sure, that's a good question. The first thing is that, when I first took this office, I think we made some meetings, or some of our first meeting with the county commission, we talked about the pilots. And I want everyone to know this, is that this office is not against pilots. It's a good thing for cities. However, they have to be governed by which, let's say if you had an investment to send your kids to college, and even before your kid get to college, right, you start taking money out of there, because maybe some repairs need to be done in your home, some emergencies might need to be done. Then all of a sudden it's time for your kid to go to college, and guess what? It was no money put back. So when we give out pilots, what's the economic impact that we can see on paper, that we can see as leaders, say, you know what, this did impact, Memphis and Shelby County. So that's a fight that we always had, even on the county commission, because we tried to get a voting member to be on the the edge board, you know, that makes a decision on the pilots from the county commission, but we were unsuccessful because I think how it was written, you know, that they didn't want, I guess they didn't want no, you know, no oversight with any elected bodies like city council and county commission. But if I know what I knew today, as far as in this office and the senator's office and pilots and other deductions, that, you know, I would have done things a lot differently, or I would have, you know, been a voice a lot different. But, you know, I'm all for pilots, but I think we need to do a better job in governing pilots.
Let me see if I can do another bad job of describing the process from here. The roles have been presented, the reappraisal has been presented. It has to be voted on and accepted by, I believe, the county commission. Am I right about that? And yes. Then that appeal process does begin and goes on. People, individual homeowners, property owners, big, you know, owners of multifamily can all appeal that process. But then it goes to the individual legislative bodies. The county commission has to vote to say, all right, here's what the tax rate's going to be, city of Memphis, city of Collierville, and so on and so forth. Once they have that baseline set of here's where the property values are, right?
That's right.
Okay. That is all the time we have this week. Remember, if you missed any of the episode today, you can get the full episode at WKNO.org, or you can download the full podcast of the show from the Daily Memphian site or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll see you next week.